we may have to slip out for a vote, but I don't, we're on general orders, so I don't think so. Senator Skoy has the JMZ 0025.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. We've been looking in the Senate this year at some of the personal property exemptions used for pollution control, and had a lot of discussions with the department and others about the process that's used for determining what qualifies for this personal property tax exemption. Current law is pretty clear. It's supposed to be primarily for the abatement and control of pollution. According to testimony of Senator Murphy, there's some question about whether it is currently being implemented that way, and we'd like the department to do a little study to see if there isn't something we could do to make sure that all these equipments and devices that are being used for pollution control and qualifying for this exemption actually are primarily being used.
Questions, Commissioner? We get a copy of it?
Yeah, Chairman. I've consulted with Mr. Ouellette, and this is fine.
Okay, very good. Any questions, members? Representative Lincheski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Commissioner, this is fine. You said this is fine. I have to ask, when the House has studies, the testimony is always they need an appropriation. So just curious about this one.
Sure, Madam Chairman, Representative Lincheski. You know, I think it's all a matter of degree. I mean, that the studies that we've weighed in on before were, for example, fiscal disparities, which we really don't have the expertise internally to do that kind of study, that comprehensive and that scope. This here is much more limited. It's something I think that Mr. Ouellette thinks the department can handle without an appropriation.
Heine studies.
Interesting.
Heine studies. On the Skoy motion to adopt the JMZ 0025. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Country, no. The motion prevails. Senator Skoy, that one's so good. Do you have another one?
Well, I have a county aid payment if we're ready to head off into that.
Yeah, we can do that. Now's the time. Senator Skoy moves the JMZ 0026.
Mr. Chair and members, if you would think back to last year, we've been spending a number of years, probably even decades, trying to figure out a way to work through the funding of out-of-home placement costs. And we did some aid to Beltrami County to help them cover these costs last year. But the federal government in October passed a bill, Fostering Connections and Success to Increasing Adoptions Act, in which the federal government is going to pick up between 80 and 100% of the cost of treating these children. One of the holdups to getting this access to these federal dollars is going to be some transition money, and I would hope to work with Beltrami County and Red Lake as they apply to the federal government for these funds. Would be a significant property tax reduction up in the area also. And really, if Red Lake and Beltrami County can lead the way, I think that there will be a number of other bands that will be applying to the federal government for this money also.
Questions, members?
Chair.
Representative Markworth.
I'm just looking at the county option revenue reform, and Beltrami County would bring in $451,000 a year with that half-cent sales tax, which would be about enough to cover that. But the question is, on last year, Senator Skoy, how did that all, how many years was that? Would you refresh my, I don't remember. What was that all about again?
Mr. Chair and Representative Marquardt, what happened last year is there was a issue with the department and Beltrami County, Red Lake, and the federal government where a agreement for 4E funding had expired. And normally, the county and the band had been able to retroactively put their agreement in place. The department ruled that that was not going to be allowed in that year, and because of that decision, they were unable to access around $800,000 of federal money, and the state stepped in and helped the county and the band out with those costs last year. I have to tell you that if they can implement this direct relationship between the band and the federal government, it will go a long ways toward solving the problem that we dealt with last year.
On the JMZ 0026, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Contrary, no. The motion prevails. Madam Chair, I have been working with Senator Olsen and Representative Kalin today on the personal property tax exemption for the power plant that we talked about earlier today. And I believe we have an agreement with the parties. So Senator Dibble moves the KB A06. Members, what this does, and I understand the developer of the plant has agreed to the language here, and it really sets a new threshold for the for making people eligible for the personal property tax exemption. What this has, and I didn't feel like we needed a number, but on line 2.13, actually starting on 2.11 through 2.15, in order to receive the personal property tax exemption, they have to enter into an agreement with the host community. And in this case, it's an agreement to pay payment in lieu up to $600,000 per year for the operating life of the facility. And, Madam Chair, I think this is probably the right compromise going forward between the House and Senate language relative to the personal property tax exemptions. And then we are going to propose the study we talked about earlier to have the department gather up the information for us. And, you know, how many exemptions are out there, how many of the plants got built, how many of them have some kind of an in-lieu agreement in place, what kind of property tax shifting is going on in those host communities. So maybe take that up next. That's another issue. But on the KB A06, any questions?
Chair, the study's
not
in
this amendment. No.
There's another one coming?
Another one coming with a study.
Is it? Do you have to pay for that one?
I think the commissioner, I thought they supported that study last night.
Which study?
Well, let's take it when we get to it.
Yeah.
We're not on it yet. This one here is the personal property tax exemption for the plant.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Markworth.
I just want to say that Representative Kalin has worked extremely, extremely hard on this. I know he's talked to the chair and I don't know how many times to get this through, and I'm happy that all the parties have worked this out, but Representative Kalin's to be commended for his efforts on this issue and bringing jobs to his community.
Yes.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Contrary, no. The motion prevails. Where do we have our? Let's talk about our study as long as the commissioner is thinking about it.
Different one. Pollution control one.
They're free tonight.
We got some pollution control one. It's like legal in the SCA, right?
Why not? I'm sure. Do you have anything? We're waiting. Council went to draft the one for the
sole study. We're working on a couple studies right now.
No, Madam Chair, the Solway plant, which is the other exemption, I believe you have. We have in our bill, Ottertail County. Is it Ottertail?
Beltran.
Ottertail Power.
Otter Tail Power, Beltrami County.
We didn't, wasn't a bill.
I don't know anything about it. They didn't have a bill or anything.
It's the same thing as the rest of them, so council's actually working on the language, so.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Moore, or Senator Moore?
I have the JMZ0024 amendment that we talked about earlier.
Can you move the,
Mr. Chair, Representative Marquardt has had a chance to look at this. This actually was language that was suggested to us by House Counsel to make this actually work better. It's clarifying language for the provision that we adopted earlier. So I move the JMZ0024 amendment.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Marquardt.
The night we did pass that, I know staff and others had some concerns, and it sounds like this does correct those, a lot of those concerns.
So are we withdrawing the language we adopted earlier? This, and where on the side-by-side is the old one? Okay, so.
Oh, incorporating to that, Mr. Chair, on line 1.12 of the amendment, delete local government and insert city.
On what line, Senator Moore?
1.12, delete local government and insert city. So the JMZ0024 amendment language.
So, Senator Moore moves the JMZ0024 that replace the previously adopted Senate Article 4, Section 58.
So moved, Mr. Chair.
All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, no. The motion prevails.
Representative
Marquardt.
I'd like to move the H2323A74 amendment with one addition, a seven-year sunset. Seven-year sunset, and this is the cross-compliance language.
I know I have a copy of that somewhere. A74 with a seven-year sunset?
Correct. Okay, I think what we can do is on line 2.4, change 2013 to 2016.
And that'll take care of it. So we don't.
On line 2.4, it looks like we can do that. Delete 2013 and insert 2016.
We're actually getting three more years.
So it was.
There was a sunset in there.
Okay.
Well, I will withdraw that. I think let's go with what we had here. So
because this was some agreed upon language, right?
Oh, okay.
And this was the agreed upon.
This was agreed upon. So I'll move the H2323A74 amendment as is.
As is.
Yes.
Mr. Peterson, was there agreement to this?
these development agreements.
It was kind of a package deal. Well, for 3 years, we're going to try to live with it, I guess. See how it goes. On the A-74, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Contrary, no. Motion prevails.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Skoy.
Mr. Chair, to staff, have we adopted Senate Article 4, Section 55?
What's that?
Yes.
Adopted. Thank you.
Arlene, do we like that?
Have any amendments? What have you guys been doing all day?
We've got the gavel.
I don't know anything about it. Is this something we agree to?
I don't know. We've got so many.
I don't know anything about it.
Senator Rest had this issue.
Sure, thanks.
Need to have a time to expire, so they don't go on.
Which is where the counties and DHS.
Yeah.
What is this? What does this amend?
What we adopted on Saturday, or last time we met, anyhow, I mean, it's Beffert and Mack, where we said that the Department of Revenue.
Get it, your mic. No one can hear you.
And the counties, do you want me to do it? Mike.
Mr. Chairman? I'd like to move the ANMAPDTLA for A1 amendment. Boy, that's a longer.
There's a lot of people working on this one.
Acronym than the actual amendment itself. And this is when we adopted the language that said that there would be an interim study on the maintenance of effort match with DHS and the counties and Department of Revenue. Senator Rest brought up the point that she had enacted general government language that said every consultation should have a sunset date, and this just implements it and says it'll expire on February 15th, 2010, when they issue their report.
Okay, everybody okay with that? On the A1, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Contrary, no. The motion prevails.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Markworth.
I'd like to come back to page 38. House Article 6, Section 7, that's the wind energy production tax. And I would like to move that. And that is page 38, Article 6, Section 7, distribution of revenues, diesel, wind energy. And what that will do is that 6% right now that is going to the school district would go to either the city or the township. And I will move that. Senator Sparks, and we've got a couple representatives.
Senator Sparks voted for this tax bill. Did your representatives that want this provision vote for the bill? Then we should give them something. Vote for large tax increases, they should have something in the bill coming back, right?
I don't have anything. Representative Markworth, you?
A couple things.
Let me.
We'll give you a chance later this week to get something in the
I'm gonna get the what big I want, bill. Which is nothing for Bloomington.
The wind tax, the wind energy production tax issue. Page 38, House Article 6, Section 7. I think we all understand this issue. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Contrary, no. The motion prevails.
Mr. Chair, we've got a quick break. I have a few more information on trivia. First of all, Nobles County is named after the great-great-grandfather of our legislative auditor, James Noble. Nobles County, great-great-grandfather, and he was a member of the Minnesota Territorial Legislature. Then also in Cities with presidential names: Adams, Jackson, Tyler, Madison, Johnson, Garfield, Cleveland, McKinley, Roosevelt, Truman, Kennedy, Clinton, Taylor's Falls. That's as far. That came from the LMC, Mr. Carlson. That's his data. Then Mr. Kelleher from the Historical Society has some descriptions of some of these early surveys, one from St. Louis County and one from Clay County. And one here in Clay County has aspen. You know, it has aspen written up here. And
Because those
anyway,
those are aspen trees that they were going through as they were chaining.
Just thought I'd share that knowledge with the committee as we
look
continue.
Here.
Oh, we got
1878, Pembina County.
Yeah. So,
Representative Marquardt, I have something. I'll just read this to you. Many cities and counties share the same name. In most instances, these city-county pairs involve a city within the county of the same name.
Okay.
Example, Anoka is in Anoka County. Winona is in Winona County. Goodhue is in Goodhue County. But there are 14 cities that are not located in the county with the same name. For instance, Blueworth is in Faribault County.
That is amazing.
Nicklin.
And Faribault is in Rice County. And Rice is in Benton County. And Cook is in St. Louis County. Marshall is in Lyon County.
Oh, yes.
Beltrami is in Polk County. Mm-hmm. Clearwater.
Sure.
Oh, it's open.
That's yours. Here, yeah.
Wright County.
Yeah.
Who settled this state?
Sherburne is in Martin County. Grant is in Washington County. Cottonwood, city of Cottonwood, is in Lyon County. The city of Ramsey,
Anoka,
is in Anoka County. The city of Becker, Sherburne County. And the city of Dakota is in Winona County.
What were they thinking?
That. Very good information.
You should take that. That's your copy.
You know, I've already got about 2 weeks of curriculum right here that I've got today for next year, so we're sitting good.
Well, Representative Marquardt, I hope you're home to teach it.
You think by September, well, let's see, it's after Labor Day, isn't it?
After
we
Labor
past
Day.
That. So, yeah, hopefully September I'll start it off.
Also, do we have anything we can do over there? I think we've got a couple things. Give us a few. Senator Skoy and I will take a look through and see what. This is a lot like marking up an omnibus bill.
Only a lot more fun.
More fun.
Well, my Ellie's not here.
This is good.
I'm not going to do all of that.
Do we have anything left that we need to do? What is this one?
It's one that's here but wasn't actually on the
page. Yeah. Diane has like a technical one, I think. She has like a technical
one. Representative Loeffler.
Supposedly Scott is in on it. I don't know.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We adopted a provision that was a House provision, but somehow it didn't show up in the final House language. So Ms. Dalton has provided us the APD Loeffler 2 amendment, which deals with the Minneapolis local option sales tax. We adopted a provision, or thought we had adopted a provision, that said for 2009 and 2010, Minneapolis could use any excess not needed for convention center debt to replace lost aid, and thereafter they could use it like other cities for capital improvements. And somehow there was a drafting issue. It is on page 62, Article 10, Section 36 of the House bill.
Codify all the Minneapolis provisions.
Where does the revenue come from?
Good idea. I suggested that.
It's like it's so confusing. Everything's always.
Representative Loeffler, what?
Yeah.
Page 62, House Article 10, what section?
Section 36.
Which we previously had adopted, and is this a replacement for that?
Mr. Chair, that's correct. It's just Dalton. Language that Ms. Dalton.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, we actually thought this language was in the third aggressment of 2323, and somewhere along the way it got dropped in some engrossment. This is actually what we had been saying was in the summary all along. That's the actual language that matches what was in the side-by-side. But it seems to have disappeared in the engrossment.
Okay, Representative Loeffler moves House Article that the APD Loeffler 2 replace the previously adopted language of House Article 10, Section 36.
Yeah, it's just Section 2 of that bill.
Just Section 2 of that Section 36?
Of the Loeffler 2.
Loeffler 2.
Oh, okay. So lines 2.12 to 2.27?
That would be...
Senator Devils brought this?
Yeah. Senator Devils, this work?
Yeah. Get them both on the record here, so... Minneapolis thing.
Yes.
This is what we thought we adopted already. It just sort of disappeared from an engrossment. So.
On the APD Loeffler 2, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Contrary, no. Motion prevails. Amendments adopted. Senator Skoy, what have you got there?
Well, Mr. Chair, we have another study. It's I think it is.
Thank you. Draft and ours right now.
Senator Skoy, the JMZ 0029.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And you know, members, we both had, between the House and the Senate, very different approaches to what we are doing with these electrical generation facility exemptions. And maybe we should get the Commissioner of Revenue to study some of what's going on with these exemptions and give us some ideas about the impacts that these are having on the host communities and if we shouldn't implement a system to do a payments in lieu of to these communities.
This
and,
is one of your shop, right?
See if we can get a little better information so that we can make a more informed decision on this next year.
Commissioner, I think most of this work is probably already done. I saw a House research document that seems to have a lot of this information in it.
Yeah, Chairman, I know it's standard operating procedure when the legislature can't agree on a tough issue to toss it over to an agency to do an interim study. I understand that. I understand that's kind of the checkmate strategy. And, you know, and to Representative Lencheski's point, not any one of these studies probably doesn't justify a fiscal note. And we didn't ask for a fiscal note on Loeffler's study that we're going to participate with DHS, which is probably maybe the most time-consuming one, and we did not ask for a fiscal appropriation. But, you know, I think we're up to four or five now. And the bulk of them are in the property tax division, which is already one of the more stretched divisions. So, you know, it's not as if any one of them justifies a fiscal note. It's kind of the cumulative impact of it. And, you know, we got 5 months, basically, if we end on time here, to get about a half dozen studies done. So, you know, it's getting to the point where it's piling on. And
Commissioner, do you not want to do this one? We don't have to do this. I mean, because this isn't a compromise. We've actually reached an agreement on the on the issue. This is actually just so that we have more information. We're not, I mean, if you don't want to do this one, we can talk about it later. I mean, it's nothing.
Well, you know, it's not any given one. Like, this one's more problematic than the other five that you've already adopted. It's just there comes a point where the resources are going to be problematic. And it's just kind of, as I said, the cumulative effect of doing that many studies in a fairly short window. So, you know, at the end of the day, it's obviously your guys' prerogative on that. I guess I prefer a study rather than adopting a bad compromise. So it's like, you know, I don't know what the compromise is that you guys have worked out, but we prefer, you know, a study over a bad policy result.
Get rid of the horse study.
Sure, how do you feel about the horse study?
Jeez.
That one's already adopted.
The department wanted to do that one because we thought that issue wasn't going to go away.
I'm kidding. That's already adopted.
Well, Chairman, it's likely not going to go away, whether we do a study or not do a study. But I guess I just asked in the conference committee to prioritize the best you can so we can do an adequate job on the ones you do task us with.
Oh, let's withdraw.
Well,
horses.
Is this our last one?
Yeah, well, that's solely thing, but that's not a study.
No, but a study.
Last study, yeah. We don't care about this very much.
Commissioner, we don't feel like we have to do this. This is just information gathering. We're not trying to, I think we're trying to chart any compromise with this. But,
right.
I mean, we don't, I mean, we can withdraw it.
No,
if you think we piled too much on, I mean, we can do that.
Well, Mr. Ouellette just advised me that though we have many studies in the pipeline currently, that each one of them is in a little bit of a different, they're all property tax related for the most part, but they all have a different point person involved. So we probably, if it was a high priority for this conference committee, we could probably manage them all. But you got to, you know, beyond the studies you guys give us every year in a bill, we have the annual ones. So next year we have a tax expenditure book that's due. No, this year was a tax incidence study. We do the market, the limited market value one comes out, I think, every other year. So there's a bunch that are already in current law that we have an obligation to complete as well. So,
Mr. Chair.
Representative Lanchesky.
Limited market value, we don't have to study that anymore. That's good.
Are we done with that one, Eric? All right.
Well, it's gone away, right? Next year it's all going to be gone, so that's good.
If you'd want to repeal the incident study or one of those, we maybe could talk.
You want that one.
Madam Chair, I have to run up to the floor for a minute. Senator Latz is putting an amendment on a bill. It's my amendment, and apparently somebody has a question.
We'll wait.
So,
let's hopefully for 5 minutes.
Before you recess. Mr. Chair, I'm going to withdraw the 0029 amendment for now.
Okay.
So we don't have that hanging.
Amendment withdrawn. We're going to recess for 5 minutes. It's no more than 10. Call the conference committee on the file 2323 back to order. And I'm sure I have a small electric generation facility personal property tax exemption. It is the JMZ0028. This one actually is mine, if you can believe it. Senator Skoy is going to move it for me. And Madam Chair, what this one is there's a, this isn't a new exemption. There's currently an exemption for a construction of a coal gasification plant in northern Minnesota. And this amendment, it's not a new exemption. It just would allow them to start with a small gas plant before they move to the coal gasification plant. So it kind of would be like a phase thing, but the current law doesn't allow them to do that. It allows them to build gas on the end, but not on the front end. And I talked with Senator Solon about this today, and she said as long as that's all we were doing was extending the personal property tax exemption to, in the event the plant starts up as gas, that there's not an issue with that. So, Madam Chair, it's a current exemption for a coal gasification plant. What this would allow them to do is start as a small gas plant and then later convert to the larger plant that already had the exemption in place. But it's the same project. The other exemptions aren't new. This is electric generating. It's electricity made by coal gasification. instead of by conventional coal or by just gas.
Is it an F-4?
It's an innovative energy project.
It
hasn't started yet. It hasn't started yet. We haven't built it yet. Right.
So why give them an exemption?
Madam Chair, they have the exemption. We just want to be able to start it as a gas plant rather than the coal gasification that it currently has. Same plant, same site, same project. It's okay, Madam Chair.
Senator, do you still think it's okay?
Mr. Chair, if I may, I'm serious. I'm not on the Environment Committee. What's coal gasification?
That's current law, Madam Chair.
I know. Can I ask Senator Dibble what he thinks of this?
Sure.
Well, I don't know what I think about this proposal, Madam Chair. I've never been super crazy about this particular project. I think they've gotten a lot of consideration in the past, but I'm absorbing this proposal as we speak. I'm listening.
As am I.
Nothing new here, Madam Chair. On the JMZ0028.
Mr. Chair, if there's nothing new, why do you need an amendment?
Well, Madam Chair, because the current law doesn't allow them to build gas first. They have to build coal gas first, and then they could convert to gas later. Synthetic gas. What this would do is allow them to build 100 megawatts of gas first before they actually build the coal gasification plant.
And get an exemption for both.
But it'll be the same plant.
Okay.
Representative Chesky.
Okay.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Contrary, no. The motion fails. The 0028 is adopted.
There's another one.
This one is for Senator Skoy. This one was also.
This was in the bill.
This was in the bill.
What in the world?
Commissioner, it's in the bill. Except we're making it a little stricter under this new standard we've established. You got it?
Yep.
So what, Mr. Chair?
Representative Lynchesky.
Why don't you want to just do these statewide then? Well, we just did one, now we're doing another. I mean, why not just do them statewide like the House proposed?
Because we maybe will once we establish this new precedent of requiring an in-lieu payment with the whole cities. Maybe we will do them statewide once we get people comfortable with that. Senator Skoy, what's the number of it?
Mr. Chair, this is the JMZ0030 amendment.
I think, is that all we're going to have on personal property tax exemptions then?
I think, Mr. Chair, this is the last one here. Do you have another one of those? And, Mr. Chair, this is a 40-megawatt peaking plant in Beltrami County. There's currently one peaking plant in that facility, in that area. This will be right next to it. And we need that to provide stable power to the Lakes area.
And you had a bill on this? Bill on this?
Oh, yeah, it's in the side-by-side. I don't know, can't exactly find it, but there is a...
Madam Chair, I'm sure you probably heard this, and when you saw two of them coming on the pike, you just thought about exempting all of them. I don't know why.
I heard it. No.
No bill. No, there was no bill. This came in late.
Oh.
And, Mr. Chair, we have... included the that they must reach an agreement with the host county, township, and school district for payment in lieu of personal property taxes.
So this, Senator Skoy, meets the new standard that they have requirement of a payment in lieu.
Yes, Mr. Chair, and that was part of what we were thinking that we would ask the department to look at this summer, which we'll probably put off. But, you know, as we work through these exemptions, we should have some impact of what the cost is for these host communities so we can maybe give them a little more guidance as to what the agreement should include.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Marquardt.
Do we know how many new jobs for this one and how many new jobs was for the last one? Do we have any idea, roughly? Because I think Representative Kalin's was about 500 jobs. And there were how many?
20.
600?
26 when it was operating, I think. Mm-hmm. 26.
26 jobs?
When it was fully operational. And then whatever the construction impact was.
So,
right.
I mean, we are putting people to work tonight
right.
with all of these amendments.
Yeah, there's some construction jobs here, for sure. But this one is much smaller, 40 to 125 megawatts, I believe. Senator Olsen's was 150 to 700 and something, I think, so it was much, much larger. This Senator Scoia is next to an adjacent facility?
Yes, Mr. Chair. There's one of these already there. It's a good site because there's a natural gas line right there, and there's also power lines that they can tie into a substation very easily.
What do you think, Madam Chair? Questions? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Contrary, no. The motion prevails. 0030 is adopted. Running out of work, Madam Chair. You have anything over there?
The only thing I have is, Mr. Chair, is this item that was brought to me by Mr. Carlson with the League. He talked to you about this. It's a technical issue for the tax versus fee. If he hasn't, then we'll wait.
Well, I think we talked about it a day or two ago, Saturday maybe.
He's nodding. I haven't even read it. Mr. Michael can explain it if people are interested in it.
Mr. Michael? Senator Scoia.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Carlson did talk to me about this, and the issue is that with the legislation that we did that defined a fee as a tax, there is some issue as to whether these nonprofits have to pay the fees that cities are assessing for lighting, et cetera.
Yeah.
And they would like this language to clarify that everybody has to pay those fees that is using the improvement or the service.
Well, there you go, Mr. Chair.
Senator Wah.
All those years, Senator Pogemiller had me holding on to this definition of what a tax and a fee is, and a fee and a tax are in the statutes, and I wonder if that's the result of my little definition sheet.
It is.
Pretty excited.
Apparently it was creating some problems.
Well, a fee is a tax.
Well, Mr. Chair.
Representative Chesky.
Well, I want to be clear, because if that's what this is, then I don't support it. My understanding of what this is when Senator Pogemiller and Representative Krenke in this conference committee adopted a tax versus fee, which I believe was in 2006, it was one of the two, 3 years ago, three or four years ago. We've got it in statute. The House has actually followed it. Senate has not. And the House spent its first 2 years in the majority cycling every fee through the tax committee in honor of Representative Krenke, I guess. The Senate, on the other hand, where Senator Pogemiller carried the language change, has not, and has had not only fee provisions carried in all kinds of bills, but even tax provisions. So there's been a move on by folks to undo this. This is not this. This is not undoing the statute. So if it is undoing the statute, Mr. Carlson, I want to know, because I'm not going to support that either.
Let me see if I can.
I think it's just a technical change on an issue, and I don't think the governor would sign the undoing of the tax versus a fee item. I think he actually cited in his veto letter in the State Gov Finance bill a couple of years ago, but I mean, I might be wrong on that. But if this is undoing that, then I don't think that makes this. I mean, I think that's a big controversy that wouldn't fit in this bill.
I think, Madam Chair, what this is, and Mr. Carlson, correct me if I'm wrong, is just to make it clear that some organization that is tax exempt cannot avoid paying this fee because in law we call the fee the tax. Mr. Carlson, is that accurate? Does this apply to nonprofits that might not be subject to taxes and might use the current law as a way to avoid paying a fee?
Mr. Chair, that's a very good summary. Going back, Representative Lencheski, this was enacted during, I think, the second Thunder under the Rotunda in 2006. And we've had at least one emerging threat to challenge a special assessment based upon the fact that state law defines fees to be taxes, and it would overturn over 50 years' worth of interpretation of statute and AG opinion. So, Mr. Chair, you did summarize it very appropriately. It would not undo the overall statute. Senator Pogamiller did not want to repeal the statute. He wanted to find a fix to the statute.
Commissioner, is this okay?
Yeah, sure. I talked to Mr. Carlson as well. He explained there's
some creative lawyering going on out there. That this will actually help alleviate that situation.
Mr. Chair, I will move the ANMFEE amendment.
Everybody understand it? Senator Mwah, do you understand it?
Absolutely, I do. I agree with the House.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Contrary, no. The motion prevails. Madam Chair, I have one here that I think you're going to find interesting.
Me.
I think you'll find this in. Madam Chair, I've talked to Representative Rukavina about this, and he assured me he would talk to you and that you would be fine with this. What this is in the Environment Finance Bill, they created a new tax. A 3/4 of 1 cent tax on the extraction of crude ore. And they then use that tax to backfill general fund that goes to the DNR mineland reclamation effort. And they Madam Chair, he assured me he would talk to you about it. But anyway, the issue is in the Environment Finance Bill, they actually passed a tax.
A fee.
It's a 3/4 of a cent per ton. I guess you can call it a fee, but it's a tax.
They did it as a fee, so it wouldn't have to go to tax. Did you hear it?
No.
Tax committee?
No, we never had an opportunity to. Commissioner, did you know this? Commissioner Holston had proposed this at DNR?
The fee, the mining fee. Chairman, I was brought to my attention that the agency budget proposed, I think it was called a reclamation fee, is what they referred to it as. And that DNR bill has passed, in fact, I believe. That's pretty much the extent of my knowledge on the subject.
So, Madam Chair, this repeals their 3/4 of a cent per ton fee or tax and replaces it with general fund, which is what all this program had been funded before.
So, Mr. Chair.
Someone just.
So this is an appropriation out of the general fund?
Correct.
How's that a tax bill, tax item?
I talked to Senator Cohen about this, and he said appropriations in the tax bills. I said, has that ever been done before? He said, not since Senator Pogamiller.
There's been appropriations, but Senator Bach, so why can't these folks pay fees?
Madam Chair, they pay a lot of fees, but the issue that the companies have is the entire mineland reclamation activities at DNR are being paid for by the existing iron ore mining companies. And there are other mining activities related to aggregate, a lot of work now being prepared relative to non-ferrous mining. And the iron ore mining companies think it's really unfair that they fund the entire division's work.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Chesky.
So why should the taxpayers of the state of Minnesota through the general fund pay for costs that the mines are creating?
Madam Chair, the issue is we're funding the DNR's state employees with this. And, I mean, you can make that argument about any state employees, that they could be shifted to something, but the companies feel it's really unfair that the iron ore companies pay the entire cost of DNR's entire reclamation activities at the Division of Lands and Minerals, that it be paid for just by the iron ore companies.
Madam Chair.
This is just out of my league. I mean, this is, I don't, you know, I feel, I don't know. I mean, this is just, maybe it was one time. I mean, there's ongoing costs. It makes the deficit bigger.
Representative Seibert.
Mr. Chair, I remember debating this in the environment bill, and I'd be happy to move this or vote for this. Has Representative Anzalk's been consulted? I said this should come out of the environment bill because I figured it was kind of a tax issue, and I got attacked on the floor saying that it's just a little tiny thing for the mining companies to pay. It wasn't a real big deal for them, and so I feel like I don't know, is the range delegation all been okay with this now? But I attacked this, you know, saying that it would end up hurting the mines, and then I got my face slapped up on the floor a little bit. So I don't know. I'm happy to vote for it because I never wanted it to start with. I figured it should have been appropriation the whole time. But
well, Mr. Chair, so if Representative Guiginius were here, what would she think of this?
This would put general fund money into her budget area, which I would think she would support.
That's what I'm asking. So you think Representative Wiginius would support this?
Gives her general fund instead of a fee, Madam Chair. The last fee that they tried to impose in that bill of $15 million, the governor line item vetoed out. Clean water assessment fees that they put in.
Mr. Chair, maybe the commissioner could weigh in.
Commissioner?
Chairman, Representative Lucheski. Now, I've had some discussions with the governor's office, Mr. Gackle, who covers this area, and also a little bit with the DNR folks. I think they always understood that the reclamation fee was going against their custom and usage. They've always funded it out of the department's budget. So the fee was less than optimum. And I think they're sympathetic to what's trying to be done here. So I think the DNR is sympathetic to what Chairman Bach is trying to do. I guess my question would be, and this is going to be funded out of the general fund, and, you know, it's one of those cross-jurisdictional things, and without the DNR in the room and other folks, it just, you know, it's a little bit of outside my jurisdiction to weigh in too hard on it. But I know discussions are going on between the DNR and others about helping the mines out in some way.
Well, Mr. Chair, I mean, it appears to me you have the votes here. I just don't get why we would, first of all, we have a deficit, so why we're spending on the general fund is odd. But secondly, it seems to me that the industry should pay the cost of these regulations. I don't know why the taxpayers of Minnesota, even in a deficit, should be picking up the tab for these mining companies. It's beyond me. But.
Madam Chair, this has always been a general fund appropriation, and it's unfair to tax just the iron ore companies for all of the state's mineland reclamation costs, because that's what this is. There's mining going on all over the state and that comes under the Division of Lands and Minerals. And they're proposing, and I can tell you, Madam Chair, the director of Lands and Minerals came to me a week ago and asked me for help because he felt that the companies have been treated unfairly on this and that we singled out one group of employers to pay for the entire division's costs relative to some activity.
Chair.
Representative Lucheski.
So I just want to be clear. Commissioner, the governor's okay with this.
Chairman, Representative Lucheski, this provision was put into the bill. It would not, I don't expect it would jeopardize it being signed.
On the 0027 amendment, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Contrary, no. The motion prevails.
Do you guys even feel bad about this stuff?
Representative Loeffler, we would like to, the Senate would like to revisit the Catholic elder care issue. Representative Loeffler, the page?
It's on page 36.
36? Page 36. Members will remember the Catholic Elder Care Project. Senate Article 4, Section 12. Senator Scoy would like to move that. And Madam Chair, would you like to talk about it? Anybody feel the need to discuss this? Representative Loeffler, anything to add?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Marquardt.
Again, as the other night, I do not want this in any way, shape, or form to be related to the nonprofit stuff. Otherwise, it's one coming in one time after another. An earlier one, I guess, had this exemption. And as a compromise, and it's the only way where I could support it and probably others, I think the market value is somewhere expected to be between $7.5 to $11 million on this project. And what if we were to do exempt the first $5 million, about half? It would be about half of the property tax, of the property taxes. $5 million exclusion, market value exclusion.
We couldn't get you to vote for the whole thing?
No.
Madam Chair, can we get your vote for the whole thing? No. As an opponent? No. We have three votes with $5 million threshold?
We got one.
Representative Loeffler? Mark Farn?
Representative Marty.
I'm relevant this time.
Representative Cypher, you weren't the first time. By the time I got there, it was too late.
You're picking the bottom of the barrel down on this end, but I'll vote with you, Mr. Chair. What's the motion?
Where is that at?
The motion is Senate Article 4, Section 12, moved by Senator Moi with a to exempt the first $5 million in market value. Market value exclusion on the first $5 million.
Market value exclusion.
Council understand the motion. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Contrary, no.
No.
The motion prevails. You won't be happy. But he wasn't going to get the, he wasn't going to get the rest. This.
Saw some senators walking.
Right, that's what I thought.
A little bit.
A wall.
Well, let's have a discussion about it.
Can I have one more?
Yep.
Thank you.
It's one.
There's, Senator Skoy moves the SCS 2078834. Members, I don't know if we can get there on this. I don't know how much work has been done on this today, but this is the idea of, in lieu of the moratorium on new incorporations of cities. So, Mark, did you do any work on this?
Mr. Chair, I did not.
Who did the work on this?
Well, Mr. Chair, I drafted the amendment. The work is done by a group of stakeholders that were interested in this issue. The idea was to try to get a handle around what the financial implications of, to the state were of these incorporations.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Marquardt.
And I realize this is for incorporations, but, I mean, we could turn this into a report for when a city annexes. Mm-hmm. So when a city annexes, that they would have to go through the administrative law judge and talk about how that would impact AIDS and market value, homestead credit, and LGA and all of those. I understand your persistence on this issue. I'm going to ask members on this side to vote no on just doing anything with this year. We can look at all of this next year. I just don't think it's ready for this year.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Seifert.
Can I ask how many pending municipal incorporations are in the queue right now that are requesting incorporation?
Does anybody from the townships know that? How many corporations are kind of in the queue? Benazic, any idea?
Two or three, I'm not sure.
Two or three? I heard about one, I know for sure. The host interested in kind of splitting the baby on this or not? Well, it's... Mr. Way, should we just withdraw it?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I'll withdraw the 834 amendment. We'll put this in our save for future discussion file.
Maybe we'll get a future discussion this year,
yeah. Yeah, maybe. Maybe
save for future file. Wednesday when it's at the end there.
Madam Chair, this 7A amendment is the same issue as the wind credit. Remember when the wind credit idea came up, I said if we're going to take care of the wind credit, we should take care of that taconite offset at the same time. This one costs a lot less money for the biennium, $273,000. But it's the same issue as the wind credit. It is the same thing because currently when this money goes to the school, they lose state aid for it. Madam Chair, when this taconite money goes to the school district, their state aid is reduced by that amount, the same thing that happens currently with the wind production credit. So it's the same. It's exactly the same issue as the wind one.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Lincheski.
Doesn't taconite also, though, have revenue streams dedicated to the schools, unlike wind, which does not?
There are other taconite money that goes to schools that is not offset. But there is a part of it. Some of the stuff that was done in the early years, there is an offset for. And this corrects a small piece of the stuff that was done in the very early years that had an offset.
Mr. Chair, I think the difference, though, is the schools get a bunch of money from taconite, and schools get nothing from wind. So to give the school districts that get taconite an offset on top of other dedicated funding, I mean, wind doesn't have that.
The issue with the wind is the wind is act the wind production credit is a state credit.
We could give taconite, make that go to the state general fund.
Taconite is not a state credit.
Maybe we should make it the same way, make it fair.
So the issue is when they put some local money in, their state aid is reduced.
Their tax base is bigger.
So that's the issue. It is the same issue as the wind credit, and except that it's much smaller.
Well, Mr. Chair, I agree in isolation. But when you look at the total revenue flows as it relates to taconite in the school districts, maybe Ms. Baker can tell me. Ms. Baker, I don't know. Maybe Ms. Baker can tell me how much taconite revenue streams are going to schools right now, aside from this provision. Ms. Baker?
Yes.
Well, there's other funds other than this, correct?
Right. Just like Madam Chair, the difference is with the taconites is they're not on the excess operating levy, unlike other CI. I mean, when a school district down in Southern Minnesota that has wind does a excess operating levy, the CI pays. But the taconites are not on the CI base for levy purposes, so they don't pay anything.
You want to put them on there? We could do that.
No, I'm not interested in doing that, Madam Chair. Just interested in taking care of this little $273 problem, that $273,000 problem. It's the same problem that the wind people have.
Do you know how much money taconite is paying to the schools, aside from this issue?
I don't, Madam Chair, but the taconite goes to 15 different school districts, so it gets spread pretty wide. So it's really our fiscal disparities program, similar to spread like that. But, Madam Chair, I mean, the issue is, and you've heard Representative Rucamina make it, I'm sure, is that when they go to pass an excess operating levy, the mines don't pay. And they go to do a capital levy where everybody pays, the mines don't pay because they're not on the property tax, so...
But they're paying the production tax in lieu of that. Ms. Baker, or Ms. Chair.
I'm just looking at the taconite guide here, and between the various funds, the taconite guide is including the taconite railroad, the referendum, and the regular school funds. In 2008 distribution, they got $2.2 million.
Ms. Baker, is that the 15 school districts? $12.2 million to those 15 school districts,
yeah.
And they need this $272. I mean, I think the difference, Mr. Chair, is the wind folks don't have $12.2 coming from somewhere else. They have nothing.
But the issue, Madam Chair, is that when the schools, one of those 15 school districts, goes out for a capital bond to add on to a school or build a new school, or they go out for an excess operating levy, the mines don't pay it. They don't pay it. And when you in the wind school districts, when they go out on an excess operating levy, all their commercial does pay. I mean, so it is different. And why in the early years they didn't realize there was an offset in the early years, I don't know. But the most recent money that's been put into schools, there is not an offset.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Markwood.
Do you know the cost in the next biennium?
Yeah.
I mean, is it, you said 273, but is there a cost for 12 and 13?
I guess I don't know the answer to that.
And was the 273, was that for 1 year?
It was 244 in 10 and 29,000 in 11 because the production is down so much next year. This year's production is down, so next year's payments to schools are down quite a bit.
So would that be, I mean...
It would go back up, depending on what happens to production.
Okay.
It's just depending on what happens to production.
Mr. Chair, I can't support it, and it's a school finance issue. I mean, this is a funding stream for school finance that if the K-12 committee wants to take this up That's one thing. What we did with wind was we were, the advocates of wind wanted us to do a school finance issue, and I said no. So the bill they created is not a school finance issue. We kept it within our jurisdiction and gave it to cities and towns. I mean, if you want to give it to cities and towns, but I don't want to get into the world of school finance in here and have the K-12 chairs go crazy. So, you know, I can't support it.
Madam Chair, I'm
fine. It's not the same thing as the wind. It's school finance.
I'm fine with giving the money to cities and towns if you want. The point is, when we put this tack of that money into schools, we end up losing state aid. The same thing that happened to the wind. That's why you pulled it out of schools, so that you could get the state aid. It's exactly the same thing.
Well, but
I'm fine with reworking this so that this money, this $270,000, goes to cities or counties. That's fine. It's you pulled your money out of schools so that you could get the state money. And I'm fine with pulling this money out of the schools also so that they can get the state money.
Well, this belongs in the K-12 committee as far as I'm concerned, and I don't see them as the same, and, you know, all the rest of us, things should be on CI. I mean, I'd support putting it on CI. I mean, all the rest of us in our districts, when a new business comes to town and pays into the CI, we all get less aid and less school aid, or if they're an LGA city, they get less LGA because their tax base has grown. I mean, the folks who don't have to have it in the CI are beneficiaries right there because they're viewed as poorer and therefore receive a lot more aid. So, if, you know, we want to put it on CI.
Madam Chair, we can't put the mines on the CI. It's a constitutional issue. They get a production tax. So we have no way, because it's in the Constitution, that they don't pay property taxes.
That's right. They pay a production tax in lieu of, and then this would be on top of that, and it would be getting into school finance.
I'm sure I'm fine with moving the money to the cities where the plants are. It's fine. Which is the same thing you did with the wind. It's fine. It's exactly the same thing you did with the wind.
A different amendment.
I think we could direct council to do that. It's what it would be exactly the same if we gave the money to the cities. Madam Chair, I did $680,000 for the wind, and I'm asking for $273,000.
Oh, I think I did $680,000.
I was willing to. And this is exactly
it's like $500,000 right there.
It's exactly the same issue.
It's not the same issue. It's not the same issue. It's not. And we shouldn't be doing $680,000 out of the general fund for the mining companies.
That's how it was funded last year, Madam Chair.
Well, you prevailed on that.
Madam Chair, would you like me to direct council to appropriate the money to the cities so that it doesn't become a twofer for the schools, which is exactly what we did for wind.
It's not the same for wind.
Because
you didn't direct it to the schools.
Under current law, there was money from wind going to the schools.
Their state aid offset, and that's a school
lost,
finance
they
issue.
They lost school financing because some of the wind production money went to the schools, and they had an offset, a loss of state aid. This Taconite thing is exactly the same thing. There's some Taconite money goes to the schools, and they lose state aid because of it. It's exactly the same. So in your amendment, what you did is you took the money away from the schools and you gave it all to the cities and counties.
The property taxpayers.
Right. You gave it all to them and took it away from the schools, and then the schools got their state aid. And all I'm asking to do is the same thing relative to the mining companies. I'm willing to take the money away from the schools that they currently get and give it to the whole cities. And then the state aid they'll get. So the school will be held exactly the same. Exactly the same. Just like on the wind thing, the school's being held exactly the same. They're not getting the wind production money anymore, but they're getting the state money. Exactly the same issue.
So Representative Brukovina supports your idea here?
Madam Chair, Representative Brookavina would be very happy if you adopted this, especially if his cities get the money. You know he likes his cities to get money. Look at Mr. Michael Lombardi.
Well, I mean, in its current form, it's a K-12 issue. And I'm a no. Maybe there's three yeses here for you, but I'm a no.
Madam Chair, Representative Brookavina would want you to do this. He'll be very disappointed if you vote against this. Well, let's try and make Representative Rukavina happy. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Contrary, no?
No.
The motion is not prevail. Okay. What else do we have?
I don't have anything. Done?
It's only 11 o'clock, Madam Chair.
Anything else?
Madam Chair, would you be interested in this amendment if I redirected it to look exactly like the wind one? Exactly the same thing. I think it would be a little unfair to not do it if we were willing to resurrect it exactly like the wind one.
Well, I mean, it still remains there's $12 million going to the schools in taconite funding. Ready.
15 school districts, Madam Chair. That pay no property taxes to the schools.
Chair, do you guys introduce these as bills, or just how does this work actually in the Senate? I'm just curious. These are bills that all got heard in the Senate Tax Committee or the K-12 Committee?
Good ideas. These are just good ideas, Madam Chair.
Like the appropriation to the Commissioner of Natural Resources and the Senator Scoy's, I don't know, I can't find it. Was that a bill? I mean, I just kind of wonder how this, I'm trying to understand this because we don't have any of these. So I don't know, you know. Is this your agenda for the year right now?
Madam Chair, this tax name one here is mine, and I'm having trouble with it.
For good reason. It's troublesome.
Just wondering if I'm willing to do exactly the same thing as we did for the wind. Just take the however many cents went to the schools and just move it to the cities, just like we did for the wind. Get that done. Redraft that.
Mr. Chair, are you not going to the Legislative Commission on Planning and Fiscal Policy that we're both supposed to be at right now?
I didn't make the last one either, Madam Chair. You think they're doing anything constructive over there?
I don't know.
Madam Chair, would you be willing to do exactly the same thing we did for the wind people? Just take the taconite aid away from the schools?
Okay. I hope this is the end of this.
We'll redraft that. It's my last amendment, unless you have another one or somebody else has another one. Madam Chair, I won't have another amendment.
I don't believe you. I don't believe you. It'll be added tomorrow.
I'm sure it is exactly the same thing.
I said yes.
Let us work
I said yes. I think this is a mistake. I think
work.
The last two amendments were mistakes.
Ms. Laughlin, just give the... give the money to the cities.
We have a deficit.
Where the plant is located. Representative will love that.
Yeah, he gets them all.
He gets most of the money. Yeah, Chair. Yeah.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Mark.
I had a question on a note we had as far as the cost that was prepared by your staff. It said in 2013, this was came in after I asked you this, it does jump up to like $967,000 in 2013, and I'm just wondering...
happen
is I mean is it gonna I know it fluctuates, but I don't understand why it was like 244, 29, then 288, but then it jumps to 967. And is it continuing to go up, or is that a high water mark, or I don't understand it enough to know which way that's going to go.
I think the reason it's going down to 29 is because production's so low right now, and there must be an assumption. Somebody has an assumption production is going to go way back up, but I would guess that's a high watermark. I don't believe I've ever seen it that high.
This is Eric.
I believe. Senator Watt, do you have anything you...
Mr. Chair, I have the 845 amendment. And I don't have the copies with me, I don't think.
They're drafting it, right? Mr. Chair.
Mr. Lencheski.
Mr. Chair, while that's being handed out, are we eventually going to get to the spreadsheet? So we can all look at it? We're adopting provisions now that cost money. I think we should be getting a running tally of...
Well, unless you have other money ones, I don't... Maybe we can get an updated spreadsheet.
Right. I mean, these last three amendments cost money. Right?
Senator Moore, the A moves the A45. Senator Moore, what are we doing here?
Mr. Chair, the A45 amendment is the an amendment that's drafted to the Senate language in Senate File 2074 relating to the Central Corridor TIF. You've asked us to narrow the project, so we've narrowed, it's on page 143 of the Senate File 2074, we've narrowed the project from one quarter of a mile along the Central Corridor to 1/8. We have deleted, I believe, the provision on line 23 relating to landscaping. And then we reinstate the duration of each district to extend it to 2029 and delete the 10-year period on line 26. This is the A45 amendment with respect to the Central Corridor TIF.
Same thing. It's longer, yeah. It's longer.
It's longer. It's 20 years instead of 5.
We're going in the wrong direction. Mr. Chair?
Madam Chair, do you understand what Senator Moore is proposing here?
Well, I think it's making this TIF district even longer. So, I mean, I remain opposed. I misunderstand it.
It does extend the duration of some of the four TIF districts. But the four TIF districts, Mr. Chair and Madam Chair, they end at different times. And some of the TIF districts will extend the duration to 2029. For some of the TIF districts that end much later, we're extending it for a much shorter period of time.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Lencheski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I remain opposed. I don't know what else to tell you. I'm not persuaded by these TIF districts for light rail, even, and I wouldn't be if they were my city either. So it's not personal to St. Paul. I don't support them.
Madam Chair, members,
So tell you that we've been taking lots of votes for the last couple of weeks and some really good provisions to go into this tax bill. And I like to be a team player, but I really would like to see this in the tax bill, because it would break my heart to feel like I don't have very much to go back home with in this tax bill. So
I have nothing for my community in this tax bill.
So
the deficit.
Madam Chair.
Pass the St. Paul provisions.
Sure. Earlier you said, well, other cities don't use these financing tools and don't use TIF to help build out and guide transit-oriented development around these transit stations, and that's just not true.
Some do, some don't.
Well, many do.
Right.
Well, you do the fixed investment in the transportation system, and then you support it with a variety of other policy and finance tools. And many, many cities from around the country do this very thing. St. Paul doesn't have this tool available to it to guide the kind of development and the public infrastructure that's going to support that kind of development along the Central Corridor. I'm willing to drop my idea. We can come back to it another time. I still think it's a great idea. But it's obviously not ready for the prime time. But don't get going on this. They're putting that track in the ground. They need to start doing the planning and make sure they have the finance tools and make sure that everything is getting in place now. No time to wait for the Central Corridor. I don't know what the alternative is. So.
Chair.
Representative Chesky.
The areas that are blighted along these corridors, whether in this city or anywhere else, currently qualify for TIF. So if it's a legitimate redevelopment need, it qualifies right now. This would just be frosting on top of it. So I remain opposed.
Well, Mr. Chair, I understand if Chair Lencheski remains opposed, but there's still 4 votes on her side of the table, and I hope that she will be able to maintain that position if she would like to, but I would prevail upon the other members of the conferees that this is a good project. It's a regional project, and we've taken on the burden to make this regional project happen. We're not asking for the rest of the state to contribute to it. We're looking within our own city to help advance this project, and I could use the help in the committee.
On the Moi motion to adopt the A45 amendment, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, no?
No.
The motion does not prevail. And I'm sure we have this, we have a couple of small HRA provisions that we didn't quite, I think I called on Ms. Haney this morning. I believe she wasn't here, but I see she's here now. We were having a hard time understanding what those provisions are. They're double what page are they?
On page of the side-by-side on page 86. 7, sections 14 and 15. I won't pretend to understand.
I hope they get 3 votes.
Hanging on by my finger now.
I don't know where it is, though.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Center Residence.
You want to do HRA?
Center Residence Home 6. I'm sure that those housing replacement unit TIF things, Center Rest went home sick tonight, and he was the one that had been working on that. And so I think it's probably next bill. I mean, unless somebody knows more about it than I do, she did the work on that. But we could.
Well, Mr. Chair,
I'm fine with waiting.
Two of these are in the House tax bill. But we can, either way.
Well, Mentor, why don't we wait for Senator Rest? I'd hate to do it with her out here because I know she put some time into that. And she knows much more about TIF than I ever will. Ms. Haney, what are we doing in the public finance article related to Senate Article 7, the public finance article, Section 14 and 15?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Maybe if I could address Section 15 first, because that seemed to cause the most confusion. Section 15, it's labeled facilities funded from multiple sources. This language was originally created, and it applies only to the Holman public housing units in North Minneapolis. What is going on, the reason that they came to my client, the Institute of Public Finance, to request that we include their proposed change is because the way that the language was originally drafted details the source of the subsidy for these units. And they are now working, HUD and the Minnesota Public Housing Authority are now going to do a pilot program with a different source of subsidy. And that new source of subsidy is from rental assistance under Section 8. So in two places, it reflects the new source of the subsidy. And with Ms. Baker's help, who kind of her eagle eye spotted a place where there needed to be a change, and then our attorneys concurred, if you choose to adopt this on line 154.16, instead of Section 5, it should say Section 9, and on 154.25, where it says Section 5, it should say Section 9. I know the attorney from HUD conferred with Tanya Orr. I am uncomfortable speaking for Ms. Orr, but I think she was comfortable with the section, and she talked to Ms. Baker. I don't know of any controversy over it. I think it's truly just technical and supported by all parties.
Ms. Baker, you're shaking your head that this is okay. Madam Chair, you don't want to do it? I mean, I don't feel
Mr.
need
Chair,
to have to do it.
Well, I'd like to learn more. I think this is a bunch more property that's not going to pay property taxes now. You know, maybe I don't understand it, but it just seems like we're just trying to make sure everybody doesn't pay property taxes this year. Doesn't anybody want people to pay property taxes? Because then you know what? If some people don't, everyone else has to pay more.
Mr. Chair, if I could, it doesn't, Representative Lincheski, it does not change the payment of property taxes or not. These Holman units, the ones that are publicly owned,
what
currently
units?
Under
Holman,
current law, do not saying? Pay property taxes. All
Ms.
it
Haney.
Does is,
I don't know
I'm sorry.
Ms. Haney,
explain the Holman units. Those are the units that replaced.
Never heard of them.
I apologize.
There was a large, a huge project area, you know, all project
city?
Housing in Minneapolis. That was completely dismantled because it was concentrated poverty, and there's a big lawsuit. And the City of Minneapolis, the Public Housing Authority, the Metropolitan Council were then all required to completely raise, this was a court settlement, it was a consent decree, completely raise all of that property, knock it down, replace it with mixed rate housing, market rate and some affordable, and also find affordable housing around the entire metropolitan area to replace this concentration of hundreds of units that were in one spot. That's the those are called the Holman units. So when people talk about Holman units,
that was an airport.
That was the name of the that was the
I'm
name
sorry.
Of the that
I,
was the name
I
of one of the tenants
backed up.
Who was one of the parties to the lawsuit. Dorothy Holman, I think, was her name.
Thank you, Senator Dublin. So because some of the units were publicly owned and because some of them were privately owned, when the and this was all the result of a federal court decree. When the legislation was originally put in place, the current law makes it very clear that some of the units that are privately owned are property taxable.
but the ones that are publicly owned are exempt from property taxes. So the language that's proposed in our bill does not change that that property tax status of any of them. It simply clarifies that they can take a new source of federal subsidy for the publicly owned units for the operating deficits that those units incur. And it just substitutes the old Section 5 under the 1936 Act source of funding for Section 8 project-based funding.
Doesn't seem. Mr. Chair.
Representative Lencheski.
Mr. Chair, could I ask Mr. Michael? I'll admit I'm confused now because this is not how I remember the testimony when we heard it in the tax committee. So it's possible that I'm missing something here. It's probable. Maybe Mr. Michael can recall the salient points of disagreement in the tax committee, which is why we dropped it. Well, that's helpful.
Representative Lencheski, that was the day we had a sub-hitter for the Public Finance Institute, and Steve Rochelt came, and I think Mr. Michael's correct. He was not as familiar with these provisions, and these were brought to us by Jim Holmes. My apologies for confounding the situation.
Okay, I thought this was an expansion of, well, we won't go there. I think Ms. Haney's covered it. It was very complicated when we were there, and everybody just wanted to run away from it. So
Madam Chair, are you comfortable with Section 15, though?
If it's the public-private, as it's been explained by Ms. Haney, it seems okay.
Senator Dibble moves Senate Article 7, Section 15.
And 14.
And then the
14 and
no,
15.
Well, Representative Lencheski.
15, which one were we talking about?
15.
Only 15.
15, with the changes to Section 9.
Right. Yeah.
Correct.
Two places.
Yeah, with that change. Changing 5 to
that
9.
One's okay.
Yeah.
14, no.
Section 14 15, is unrelated to Section 15.
Yeah.
Let's try to get 15 done before somebody changes their mind. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Country no, the motion prevails. Section 15 is adopted. Senator Article 7, Section 14, Senator Dibble moves. Ms. Haney, what is that?
This is intended to clarify current law. It does not expand current law, and it does not change property tax exemption. What Subdivision 2 does under current law is make sure that when you have a housing authority that owns property, affordable residential property, but maybe does a redevelopment project as part of it, that redevelopment project is not exempt from property taxes. But that got confusing to assessors. So the sentence that's added just simply reminds assessors and everybody else that that subdivision doesn't apply to the residential portions that are leased to individuals. So, and if you look at the effective date, it's drafted that way because the industry's always practiced that this is the case. And I just think it was confusing, and so it was added to clarify. And there is no intent, and I don't think effect, of expanding any property tax exemptions under this.
Representative Loeffler.
Section 15, it was clear that it was Section 8. And this section doesn't have any limitation on that. So could this be market rate leases as well?
Representative Loeffler, what we would have to do is refer back to Section Subdivision 1. And I don't believe there's any it's HRA-owned property that meets the affordable guideline requirements. So I don't believe that you could have market rate leases in there.
I thought you were doing something else then.
Jim Loeffler, is that satisfying? On the Dibble motion to adopt Senate Article 7, Section 14, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Country no. The motion prevails.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Markworth.
We've got One amendment. One
the study?
Issue. No study. This is not a study.
But they do it if we had one, I'm sure.
It's going back to the OPEB, and, you know, last year the law was changed, so if they have these trusts, they can bond for them without vote or anything, cities and counties and school districts. And there's some changes in the K-12 bill right now, but, you know, there are 10 local entities, most of them school districts, but there are some cities and counties that have total liabilities for OPEB that is 200% or more of their annual revenues. In fact, a couple of them are like 600% liabilities over their annual revenues. And so, I mean, this could really be mushrooming into something that could really jack up property taxes. And we've got some real stringent things in our bill, but I've got an amendment here. Let me just explain it on the OPEB. It would allow cities and counties to still bond without a referendum with two criteria if they met these things. One is if it satisfied the requirement of the mandate right now to continue to provide benefits. Is it till 65 or until they're 65, which is mandatory? Or they would sunset the benefits, which means at some point they would have to say that from this period on, we will not be doing any more OPEB benefits for retirees and so forth. We just, this is actually something Representative Dietrich had brought up in our discussion, but by doing nothing, a number of us are worried that this thing is going to be a monster in the long term, and it is going to be some huge property tax increases, and this still allows them to do it, but it gets to the sunset so that we can start putting a clamp on it, and also would allow them to do what's mandated by law. And so it narrows it, and we think this is some compromise language. And I,
is it for city, county, city, county, and school? City, county, and school?
This one does not involve the school. Does this one involve the school?
If you want to allow the school to continue on the current law, then I have an amendment drafted that talks about that. I know there's a question that the way this amendment's drafted is only authorized.
Representative Marquardt, I'm not sure we should be doing anything with the school issue if this is something that's being considered in that K-12 committee. We probably should let them work through that. So
that would be fine. Mr. Chair, we did accept a few of your amendments that we had not had time to look at, and the chair, I know, was not 100% on board. And I just think this is really, in the long term, a very, very important issue. And I just think if we don't do something now, then they're going to say, well, it's 2 years down the road. We've been doing it for 5 years. They've only had 1 year under this, and so we would be making these modifications. I think if we're going to do something, it should be done now. And prior to last year, they couldn't do this at all. So this is still a lot more than what they had 2 years ago.
Mark, what I think I would like to hear from the cities and the counties about this so that I know. Commissioner, do you have a thought on this? Would you like to hear from the cities and counties? Or
Chairman, I wouldn't mind hearing from the cities and counties, but the administration actually liked the original position of the House. But I think the Marquardt compromise at least puts some parameters around this area, some reasonable parameters to box it up a little bit. But
Mr. Chair, you have to remember we completely eliminated this, for cities and counties.
Eliminated.
So, we're more compromising from our position that we have coming in, as the commissioner just mentioned.
I think I was the Senate author of this. Mr. Carlson's? Two Mr. Carlson's. Let's see what we're doing here.
Mr. Chair, while they're coming up, you and I were the authors of this. This was a really bad idea. Testifiers are going to say it's not, but it is. And we should get rid of it before we can't afford to get rid of it. And I think the commissioner has just said that he supports the House position, which is to get rid of it. Now, Senator Representative Marquardt's undermining me here by trying to find a middle ground here, which I think the plain old get rid of it is the way to go. But I think if you're going to take testimony from the folks who want to keep it, you need to get the folks who would explain the other side of the story in the room. Now, maybe you said you guys in the Senate didn't hear this stuff. We heard it.
Who are the people on the other side of the street?
Property taxpayers.
Yeah.
But the cities and counties are the ones that would issue the bonds, right?
You know, the GASB 45, which let everybody account for this or asked everybody to account for their OPEB, did not require them to find a way to fund it, only to put it on their statement. So I think, I don't know how you felt about what happened as the author, but how I felt as the author, as this was coming down from on high, which was not from us, that this was important to do. I don't think there was a lot of understanding about the adverse impacts of what this is going to mean for the property taxpayers down the road.
Which Mr. Carlson would like to go? Have you seen the amendment?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I have. To be brief, this amendment is acceptable to the counties and I believe the cities. I think the committee, Senator Bach, has already identified the issue that remains for the school districts with it.
So, Representative Marquardt, as this is drafted, does it impact the school district's authority? Mr. Michael, what would we need to take out to make sure we're not getting into the
school district?
Mr. Chairman, what I would suggest is on line 22, after the word liabilities, insert of a municipality or form of employment benefit liabilities of a school district.
So, Mr. Michael, we'd be with that oral amendment, we'd be with current law relative to schools.
I will add that oral amendment.
Representative Marquardt incorporates the Michael oral amendment. Cities and counties are okay?
Thank you.
Schools?
We're not doing that in here. That's the K-12 bill.
We think you're out of it.
It's in the K-12 conference committee.
Yeah.
Ms. Schwab?
We haven't met Mr. Chairman formally since Thursday, where they exchanged offers. We have not met tonight at all, formally.
But I think this amendment, as it's been amended, has just maintains current law relative to schools, but narrows the use of this relative to cities and counties. I'm sure I hate to admit we were wrong before one city has even used the provision. I'm told, Mr. Carlson, have any cities used this?
I'll admit I was wrong.
Mr. Chair, members, I am not aware of a city that's used this. I've said it a million times about having tools in the toolbox to deal with the financial crisis. This is another tool in the toolbox. I am not aware of cities that are going to use it immediately.
So, and this is a reasonable tightening of it, you think, Mr. Carlson?
Mr. Chair, I think it is. Mr. Keith Carlson and I worked on this with Mr. Marquardt, Representative Marquardt. I think it should work.
Should
should fix the school stuff too here, but that's where they're going. That's where the real problem is.
Maybe we'll fix the school stuff next year here, if they don't.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Markwart.
I'll officially move the JMBO 6-2 amendment with the incorporating the oral amendment on line 1.22, adding of a municipality.
And there were some other words. Mr. Michael, there were some other words. Mr. Michael, the oral amendment. Why don't you read that to us one more time? That holds the schools harmless, Representative Markwart, I understand.
That's
the current law.
That's the intent.
That's all I
have. On the Markwart motion, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Contrary, no?
Amy. No.
Motion prevails.
It's a rough bad idea.
Rough crowd.
Probably knows for different reasons.
That was kind of like the 50%.
You want a full reveal.
Kind of like that. But we could end it up with current law, Madam Chair.
Are we Clinton?
That's what we did.
You're going to leave it all on it, though?
Hmm? Well, you don't want to spend it.
It's your half.
I'm going to spend my $273 and give it to cities. Rickabina will be really happy. She's working on it. It's $273,000.
This is fun. Do you have anything? Nobody has anything? We're done?
Yes. I think the commissioner.
Commissioner?
One of the flag for the conferees that was brought to my attention that is controversial, and that is the what you adopted in the public finance article regarding seabed. And it's been flagged to me, I think, right after the floor debate today, it got flagged to me by some legislators and the governor's office that that was a controversial provision. So I wanted to flag that for the conferees. It's a problem provision for the governor's office.
Let's go back and talk about it then.
Mr. Chair?
It's not worth getting in trouble over.
Is Mr. Chair, are you flagging all of them? There's Representative Pawlowski's bill, Representative Rukavina's bill, Representative Coonan's bill. So, I mean, it doesn't seem
Commissioner,
fair.
Do you have a line for us to talk about? Or?
Well, Chairman, Representative Wachesky, the ones I'm flagging at this, the one that's been brought to our attention is the one, I believe it's would be Article 7. I'm sorry. Isn't it in the House bill, public finance bill, and it was Section 14, 15, and 30. And 31, and it's the one regarding the Metropolitan Council, Hennepin County, and the Metropolitan Council.
Mr. Chair,
and I believe the one that was promptly debated on the floor today.
Mr. Chair,
Representative.
So, Commissioner, are you opposed to? That's Representative Coonan's bill, and so you're opposed to the MAC Council doing it, but you're okay with everybody else? It's an 87-county program, so the other 80 counties you're okay with?
Madam Chairman, Representative Lencheski, the issue that's been brought to my attention by the governor's office was this particular issue. Legislators have called the governor's office. They have not flagged the other issue, the other beyond the 7-county metropolitan area. So I'm not aware of any controversy regarding the other ones, but I am aware of this controversy, and it was very vocally. Yep.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Lencheski.
I mean, maybe it's Representative Coonan's bill. Maybe he, I don't know, thought a procedure, maybe he wants to take the Met Council part out, but why would we let the 80 counties do it and then the county that I live in couldn't?
Representative Coonan, what do you know about this dispute that legislators have called the governor's office?
That was just because someone did an amendment on the floor, I think, today.
Mr. Chairman, I'm not surprised that Met Council would be, you know, controversial, but I don't know about the rest of the counties. Commissioner, what you were talking about is the program that included all the counties also?
Chairman, Representative Coonan, I'm not. At this point, this was a really last-minute thing. I did not flag it. I did not know it was a controversial issue until I actually saw the floor debate, and the governor's office got some phone calls relative to this provision. By early tomorrow morning, I could find out if the problem is beyond the Met Council provision. But what was flagged to me individually was that this provision, the Met Council provision, was problematic, the 7-county one.
Representative
Chair, okay, so if the problem's the Met Council, I mean, it seems to me that we can just do it for all the counties, 87 counties. Because the other 80, okay, there's 87 counties in the state, 80 of them are not governed by the Met Council. So if the things that people are flagging are the Met Council, that means 80 counties, it seems to be a go through their county commissioners because they don't have a Met Council, so... You'd be okay with just letting all the county commissioners in all 87 counties do it and just taking the Met Council out of it.
Chairman, Representative Lencheski, I would not obligate to that position. I don't know. I don't have not had enough discussions about it. I'd have to have some more discussions about whether it's the Met Council per se or whether it's just those sections. I'm probably the wrong person to ask at this point because I'm not fully informed. But I know it's an issue, and you guys, that both chairs have told me, I need to flag any issues that could potentially jeopardize the bill. So I'm putting the chairs and the conference committee on notice that these provisions have been flagged to me by the governor's office as potentially jeopardizing signage of the bill.
Well, Mr. Chair, so it seems fair to me that we wouldn't do the other ones either. And why weren't they flagged?
Do you have any idea why whoever's making these calls isn't calling equally?
Yeah.
Just... picking on certain counties?
Chairman, Representative Lencheski, I only know what I know, and I know that these provisions have been flagged.
Well, just so you know, and you might want to check on that, Representative Rukavina and Representative Kowalski have these provisions as well for their counties. So it's pretty hard to understand why
we would allow it to go forward then.
Well, Madam Chair,
the governor could get back to us by morning.
Madam Chair, we could take them all out if that's really a problem for you.
Mr. Chair, I'd hate to do that because I'll tell you where I think this is coming from, and I don't know. But I was there for the floor debate today when I carried the public finance bill, and there was concern about the Met Council. I didn't hear any concern about any county commissioners. Two separate groups of folks, and I get that. The Met Council is not elected. So it seems to me that those 7 counties, like all the other 80 counties, could just have their county commissioners make these determinations. So, like, say you live in Ramsey County, the Ramsey County Commissioners could do what's happening in Representative Rukavina's district or Representative Pawlowski's. But if it's, I think it was a Met Council hang-up. But I think Representative Coonan's bill can completely be drafted to not let the Met Council have the authority. But why all the other counties would get to do it, except for 80 of the counties would get to do it, but not 7. I'm not tracking on that. So,
Chairman, Representative Lencheski. I'm sure I could have a definitive answer for you by first thing tomorrow morning. That'd be sufficient.
Should leave them all in.
Well, Madam Chair, would you like to leave them in for now? And if we hear that, Commissioner, could you let us know by
tonight,
10 o'clock tomorrow morning if some of the sections need to come out?
Chairman, certainly by 10 o'clock, if not earlier.
Okay.
Sir.
Yeah.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Moore.
So long as the Commissioner is flagging issues, several people have told me that the Central Corridor TIF is problematic or is for the governor's office, and I just wonder if the commissioner could comment on that.
Chairman, Senator Mimoa, the governor's office administration is agnostic on the transit TIF provision. We take no position. We traditionally do not take positions on TIF districts, usually a local issue. Let the conference committee and the task committee work that out. So we'd have no position, Senator, on that provision.
Well, Mr. Chair, I know around here everyone likes to beat up St. Paul on being veto bait, but I guess on this issue maybe it's not.
So, Madam Chair, what would you like to do on the seabed projects?
Representative Coonan, would you give a thought?
Representative Coonan?
Mr. Chairman, maybe we should just wait to hear what the commissioner finds out, and we can deal with it at that time. So.
And are the House conferees okay if...
I don't know, but I mean, I'm not going to stick it to Lyle.
So everyone knows.
Maybe we should put in this bill to eliminate the Met Council. It seems to create a lot of problems. I'm serious. I mean, there's in the House, there's a lot of folks who get stuck on it being the Met Council, so they just tend to hate it. And, yeah, no, I'm a big supporter. At least make them run for elected office. But, I mean, there's certainly a way for these same people to, or these same areas, like Senator Dibble's county, to be able to do this. It's just don't have the Met Council do it. Have the county commissioners do it, like they would in every other county. So, I mean, I think the Met Council issue distracts legislators from these provisions because they just hate the Met Council. And I'm okay with getting rid of the Met Council. It seems to create a lot of headaches for a lot of people. But
I remember, Madam Chair, in my early days, Representative Myron Orfield. I think year after year after year had an amendment, I believe, for an elected Met Council.
We should pass that, yeah.
And I don't know if we ever actually got it on the governor's desk or not, but I know I remember it was offered time and time again. Sir Dibble, is my recollection accurate?
Mr. Chair, he's my predecessor. Yes, that's kind of skipped. I followed him into the House, and then he followed. He actually held Allen's seat 2 years until I took Allen's seat. Yes, I'm very familiar with the subject. And you just come up since then.
You never picked up the torch of the elected Met Council, or have you?
Oh, I've been supportive. Senator Wieger is carrying the torch. We're looking at a variety of models and ideas. Elected hasn't flown, but looking at other metropolitan areas around the country that function a little more effectively and stitching together its regional interests with its local interests. Idea that's come up quite a bit is what's called a COG, Council of Governments, where locals delegate to a coordinating body of some sort. So I was saying earlier that one of the models we looked at is what's called a COG. And actually, we used to have something like a COG here, a Council of Governments, to run the transit agency, and it worked really well. So, you know, every county would send a couple of folks from their elected body to serve on a regional governance or regional oversight. So they would have that kind of elected accountability. Remember, the Met Council has levy authority. They levy for taxes. Yet they're a cabinet-level agency. Sometimes they try to argue, oh, this is our levy, this is a local levy, you can't tell us what to do with it. They still want to be a state-level cabinet agency. And every Met Council member, including the chair, is appointed by the governor. They have they both have local land use planning authority and local services implementation authority. It's a curious creature.
Madam Chair, what would you and I should get together in the morning after we hear from the commissioner? Madam Chair, I'm not too interested after all this work in leaving something in here that's cause us to revisit all this.
Mr. Chair, I would imagine there's more. Do you want to? You should probably check what that is.
Well, considering that this is going to be taken up by the Senate, maybe, Commissioner, if you could let me know in the morning, and then I will share that information with Representative Chesky. Is that okay, Madam Chair? And then we'll make a decision about what we should do.
Are you done with on this, on seabeds?
Are the other countries comfortable with that, that we kind of take the counsel of the commissioner in mind in the morning?
Yeah.
Commissioner, how about the LLC Nexus issue as it relates to cabins?
Yeah. Chairman, that issue, we're fine with that issue. I mean, it's an issue that arises from a bill that passed last year that we didn't know had any tax implications. So I think that resolving this makes sense. I know it does raise a little bit of revenue. Can I ask a quick question to the chairman just regarding the overall bill? Is it your expectation that this bill, at the end of the day, will be a zero on the bottom line, that any money raised in the bill will be spent in the bill, either by federal conformity or whatever?
I think, Commissioner, where we're at right now is there's some money on the bottom line we have not spent. So I think there actually is, we probably don't need that LLC nexus issue. We probably don't need that revenue in the bill for it to still have a positive balance in 10 and 11.
Well, Chairman, that may be something worth considering after we look at the spreadsheet and exactly see where we're at. I'd hate to have a bill that could be construed by anybody as a possible tax increase, and if it's a net revenue raiser, that's an issue I'd like to avoid. So a zero at the bottom line would be most preferable.
Are you asking us to spend down to zero?
I'm asking you to send a bill to the governor that probably is a zero on the bottom line. And, I mean, I know there's not a lot of revenue being raised with this bill.
I mean, we'll look at the spreadsheet shortly, I think, Commissioner.
Yeah.
And perhaps if the LLC on cabins is a problem, maybe we take it out of this bill so that we don't have that money. Is that,
Chairman,
that would put us closer to a zero probably?
Chairman, that would be very acceptable.
And then we would keep that revenue for the what we just assume is going to be another tax bill, where we address all the larger revenue issues of the session.
Chairman, I think that'd be advisable. Sir.
Mr. Chair, I have an amendment that spends money, but I don't have it copied yet. I don't know if you have any further. Mr. Michael gave it to me, and I don't know where it is.
Ms. Cadoon, is there a study that just maybe no longer need anymore where we could relieve a little burden off the department?
Mr. Chair, there's a study still that we do. It's this old house study, and I have the site I can give to Joanne's off if you'd like.
Do we have an amendment? What is the, Ms. Cadoon, what's the status of this old house? Or maybe Mr. Ouellette knows, or what's the status of that program?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my understanding is that this old house has been closed to new entrants for a number of years. It still has maybe 4 or 5 years of benefits left for the current participants. But the report the last several years has been rather dull because the numbers don't change much. It's the same people getting the same benefit over the years. So,
Ms. Cadoon, is the thought that this generating this report no longer generates any new information, and maybe Mr. Nord can tell us. I think he's the guy been doing the report. Mr. Nord, can we lighten your load at all?
Mr. Chair, yeah, that would be great. I'm not sure that anybody's ever read that report, but we keep producing it. So, and Mr. Ouellette is correct that we're in phase-out mode. We've got a few years left of phase-out, so if you want to watch it phase-out, we could keep putting the report out there, but there's not really any useful information in the report.
Representative Chesky.
Can I move that we meet up to an hour after midnight right now so we don't forget?
Representative Chesky moves that under the rules the committee be allowed to meet 1 hour past midnight. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Contrary, no. The motion prevails.
That passed with one vote.
Two-thirds, Madam Chair. Two-thirds. Unanimous. Also, do we know what we need to do to repeal this old house report? The House comfortable with that?
Mr. Chair?
Does it cost money?
Mr. Nord?
Just to be clear, the same provision also includes the LMV report, and with LMV being gone, there's also no need to report that it's zero. So both reports are in the same statute.
Money? Pay for those new studies.
Madam Chair, I don't believe there even was a bill this year. Was there, Senator Scott? To extend limited market value?
Yeah,
I believe
we had an amendment.
I don't believe we had a bill in the Senate, and I don't believe we had an amendment.
We had it. Some Detmer, I believe.
So the members understand council would draft the language to repeal the report requirement for this old house and the limited market value report. And we would incorporate that into this document. Commissioner, how's that sound?
That's very nice. You made Nord's nice. Are there any more? We must have some more they could stop doing.
So we just, two.
Let's fill them in, though. With two new ones.
We were feeling bad. The studies were piling on them, so. But I do think that this is a sensible amendment. Any other discussion? On the oral amendment to delete the report requirement of this old house and limited market value. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Contrary, no. The motion prevails. Madam Chair, I have a note here that you have an amendment. Are you going horse again? Is that why you're writing me notes, sir?
No, I'm sorry. Yeah, I still haven't recovered.
Are we spending money?
Yeah, I am. If you vote yes. In a good way.
Madam Chair, did you notice that my little story about Representative Battaglia's advice to me while getting on a spending committee made the newspaper? What is that little section of the paper where they have kind of quotes of the day or something? Notice it made it. That was a true story. Madam Chair, what do you have?
Well, Mr. Chair, and I'd like to get the commissioner's input on this. In thinking through the spreadsheet, why do we have money in this bill? Well, the reason is because we're doing federal conformity. And part of what doing federal conformity does is it raises a bunch of money in the first 2 years, and then you got to make up for it in the next 2 years, and that's why then you run a deficit in the out biennium. And so what this amendment would do is take the money, roughly $8 million of what it raises, and I don't have the exact number. I'm going to ask Ms. Templin or Ms. Von Mosch to give it to us. These are on the federal conformity provisions. And take the $8 million, roughly, that I believe it costs, and commit it to the out biennium so that federal conformity is actually paid for. Because I guess the way to think about this is, so what's going on? It's just by accident that we have revenue. There's no tax increases in here. It's because we're conforming, and so you get some money up front and you lose it. If you take it up front and spend it, you're growing the deficit, you're buying something permanently you don't have the money for, and then you're kind of twice as bad. You don't have the money for that in the future, and you're not conforming in the future, and you're leaving yourself a hole. So this fills the hole. But I don't have the exact dollar amount. I think Ms. Von Mosch and Ms. Templin would have to give it to me. It's around $8 million. And so, Senator Bach, when you and I were looking at a total of like 17.9, and I think it was around that, and I was thinking half, you know, that's where I would use it to, you know, be responsible here and not grow the deficit and pay for conformity as it should be paid for, not spent in this biennium. My preference would be to not spend any of it. At least this way, secure half of it can't get spent by the spenders. So I'd just be interested in what the commissioner thinks.
Commissioner, what do you think about the little bit of money we do have, the bottom line, pushing it out into 12 and 13 rather than leaving it on the bottom line?
Representative Lencheski, you know, I can't, at first blush, I don't see any objection to it. It's something I probably want to bounce off Commissioner Hansen before we made a final decision. It's a little, you know, probably as much in his jurisdiction as in Department of Revenue's jurisdiction. Can someone tell me, maybe staff or somebody, who has this been done before, kind of set aside like this to pay for the out biennium costs?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Lencheski.
Well, maybe Ms. Manzi or Mr. Michael can weigh. I don't know about that, but I mean, I guess if the idea is to conform, knowing over a five-year lifetime we're going to be at about zero, but instead we conform, quick take the money in the short term and spend it on stuff.
so that later we have a bigger, an even bigger problem. I mean, why conform? You know, I mean, the point of federal conformity was to pass on tax benefits from the feds to our taxpayers, not create a larger deficit in the out years. So, you know, what I'd say is if we took out the federal conformity provisions, we'd have no money, none. And so the point of doing them is to conform. But in fact, what we'd be doing is halfway conforming. If we leave it on the bottom line, I have no doubt the spenders will find a way to spend it really quickly. So, I just would caution you, I think Commissioner Hansen would find a lot of uses for that money, and it wouldn't be for the Department of Revenue. Just a thought, but maybe Ms. Manzi or Mr. Michael can tell us. I don't know if it's been done this way before. I just see $18 million sitting out there and people swooping in to get it. And, you know, good luck getting after the November forecast.
So, Chairman, Representative Lencheski, let me clarify. Is this half of what we think the out-by-annum cost is?
No, we'll cover the whole out-by-annum cost, but half the money it raises.
Half the money it raises.
Well, there's still, Commissioner, there's still some money on the bottom line.
Okay.
And, you know, we spent a little bit.
Right.
On that mine tax and the wind credit. I mean, not much. But
and the run.
And Beltrami.
And you have one coming.
I have one little one for $273,000 coming, but that's all we've spent. So there is still some money on the bottom line. So,
and if you did this too, there'd still be money on the bottom line.
Well, Chairman, Representative Lencheski, I don't see any great objection to this provision. I don't see why it would be a problem.
It's a responsible thing to do.
No, it seems to me I tried to do something like this last year, and I was told you can't move money from one biennium to the next. Is that, Mr. Michael?
We've done this before in the House bill for budget resolution. The Department of Finance doesn't like additional accounts to keep track of.
Well,
so, Mr. Michael, we've done it in the House bill. We ever actually got it into law?
I don't recall it ever something like this ever being enacted into law. In theory, there's no reason you can't do it, but the finance department definitely prefers you not. They would rather just have the money drop to the bottom line, not be spent, and then be carried over to the next biennium.
But it'll get spent. By somebody. Mr. Chair.
Representative Lencheski.
Just so for folks who might be, I'm sure there's no one, maybe the chamber would be who should be tracking this in the Minnesota Business Partnership. I think they're the only people I think who should be tracking this closely. And for example, the 50% bonus depreciation conformity item with an 80% add back and a 5-year recovery raises about $4.7 million in this biennium, and then creates a deficit of $3.3 million next year. So if we don't set aside the money for this, there won't be money for that. And for example, if you take the 50% bonus depreciation under the corporate franchise tax, that raises $11.1 million this biennium and costs $7.8 million next biennium. So these are, you know, a series of years for lots of tax benefits flowing through that simplify the tax code for a whole bunch of folks, both in the individual income tax and the corporate tax. And if, you know, if we're going to get the goodies and raise it and then leave a big hole later, I mean, it's just going to be a bigger problem. But I just think it's a responsible thing to do. But it seems to me if we don't want to do it responsibly, we might want to consider just not conforming. There's not a lot of benefit then if you're creating a problem down the road.
Maybe Commissioner, if we put it on, is it something you could find out from finance in the morning? Or?
Chairman, Representative Lencheski, I think it's a shame I wasn't able to conform. So this is important to get in the conformity provision. I think this is something that you should seriously consider. I can get an answer for you, but I got a feeling Mr. Mike was pissed. It's exactly what the finance department is going to say. It's another accounting. And I'm not sure that should trump doing what Dr. Lencheski wants to do. That seems like, in the scheme of things, that seems like a second-tier consideration to me. And if you think this is good practice, something that show some fiscal responsibility, I think, to each individual price.
It's around $8 million, but I don't know the exact dollar. They'd have to tell us. I think they could tell us.
Ms. Von Marsh?
The bottom line figure for federal conformity in fiscal year 10 and 11 is $12,381,000. And then in 12 and 13, it's $12,075,000 to the negative. So it's the closer figure is $12 million rather than
I was using 8 because I was thinking in my head.
Commissioner, should we think if we recessed, we could get a hold of Commissioner Hansen and have him take a look at it, or would you rather just find out by morning? I mean, we've got some time. I only have one other small, that other small amendment we talked about with the $273,000. I don't have any.
I didn't do 12. I did 8. So that
there's still plenty of money, yeah. I mean, unless you want to get closer to the right number. We should avoid some additional money on the bottom line. We could get closer to the right number. We know 8 is short of.
Chairman, I can certainly have an answer for tomorrow morning at the same time I deliver the message on the seabed provisions. I don't know if Commissioner Hansen is still tied up in the...
I think we're meeting in that other meeting. Yeah. We're supposed to be there.
So if he's still, if they're still, yeah, they're still there, convening, there. I can track him down in that committee. And
I think you just see what kind of convening.
Madam Chair, would you like to put it on? And then if in the morning it's we're going to hear about the seabed language anyway, it's problematic. I suppose we could take it off.
Yeah. It won't do it.
Commissioner, is that okay?
Chairman, that'd be great. That'd work.
Okay with the committee?
Mr. Chair, which number are you proposing to use?
Well, I was thinking if we recessed for a little bit, we probably could get the right number. If we're going to do it, we might as well get the...
I have $8 million in this, but it obviously takes more. But, I mean, I was trying to get at least
eight. I guess
eight.
We can adopt that, and we can... When we go through the spreadsheet, we can always...
The word is they are still meeting, so Commissioner Hansen is here. It's just a few-minute walk across the tunnel. So we should be able to resolve that, but let's just hang on. I can move it. Yeah, they're still meeting. Are you watching that on House TV? Yes, okay, so it's being televised. Maybe while Senator Bach's gone. Are they fighting, or how's it going? Oh, okay. So you can see Commissioner Hansen. Yeah, okay, he's there.
Madam Chair, let's. I'd like to offer that amendment earlier on the taconite offset with the and council doesn't have it drafted, but that we give them some.
Adopt them both.
Let's drop adopt them both. So the issue would be that we would adopt that taconite offset provision that. Takes the taconite money away from the schools and then gives it to the whole cities. And then it would be exactly like the wind issue. And the cost in the 10 and 12 was $273,000.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Chesky.
So I'll make that motion that you just stated, plus the JM-0TA12 amendment. And if we could get those both on and recess, and we could change numbers if we had to, at least it'd be a start.
On the Lencheski motion. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
A contrary, no. The motion prevails. Commissioner, should we take a little recess and see what Commissioner Hansen thinks about this $8 million deal here?
Chairman, I can get your answer, I think, immediately.
Okay. Recess, not for too long, apparently. We're going to run out of time otherwise. So how about 30 minutes?
And then less.
Or less. Committee's in recess. The Conference Committee on House File 2323 back to order. Representative Lencheski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, we were talking about, Representative Seifert was talking to us in the break about some fixes to the health care credit that happened last year that shouldn't have. And I'm wondering if the commissioner would be willing to just repeal it outright. It was a bad idea.
Now people are trying to fix that bad idea. Can we just repeal it and get rid of it? No one's got it yet. It's poorly constructed. Would we just make that repeal and add it in here? Would the governor sign that?
Chairman, Representative Lucheski, I would not advise that. As you remember, we had a long conversation post-session about getting that as right as we could get it. And so I'd leave that untouched. That'd be my advice, at least.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Lucheski.
Can you tell us what the governor likes about it? What's the allure? Because, you know, is it just because people don't want to admit they were wrong, or is there really something that has merit about this credit?
Chairman, Representative Lucheski, you know, I've never had a thorough discussion with really anyone in the administration on that particular credit. As you know, it was crafted on the DHS side of the equation by those folks and transported into our bill. So I've never really had a long discussion with them about it. I'm sure it's about the whole concept of consumer-driven health care. I think that's kind of the basis for it. But I've never talked to the
government. It's not going to work. Thank you.
Madam Chair, while we're waiting for the copy for the small fix on those Section 125 health care credits, the issue of leased land paying property taxes, let me just make a pitch for doing the federal leases, because and this doesn't go anywhere near where I need to go, but on the federal leases, there actually is, as a part of the lease payment, federal government makes a payment to the local governments. So if we put it on the property tax, the local government's going to get paid twice on the federal leases, once from the federal government and then once as it's on the property tax. You know, the federal leases are really expensive because of that issue. Could be on this one. I think the commissioner would like to get this done, too.
No.
No? Not this one? Next one? Don't say never.
I think about the next one.
Okay, not today. Not for lack of trying. Do we have the language on Representative Seifert on the... I think we're just waiting for copies, right?
He said she could explain.
If you want any testimony on it, Mr. Chair, I think it's a pretty straightforward, easy.
Ms. Manzi, can you explain the document to us, and then we will, maybe by the time you're done, the copies will be here. This is, members, this is relative to the Section 125 health care credits we created in last year's tax bill that we fixed earlier in this session, because the language in last year's bill, the credit was carried in the tax bill and the money was carried in the Health and Human Service bill, if I remember right. And somehow things didn't line up, so we changed the language earlier in the session in an earlier bill. Ms. Manzi, what are we doing now to make it work?
Mr. Chair, what we're doing now is some language that Representative Seifert brought here to the conference committee that was developed in consultation with the business partnership. The language of the credit that was enacted in Chapter 3, House File 95, this session, would have required all employers with Section 125 plans to provide a statement of the amount of insurance paid through those plans to each employee who participated, not just the employees who were potentially eligible for the credit. This language limits those statements to employees who think they are eligible for the credit and request a statement from the employer. The section does a second thing, which was requested by the fiscal staff when the language came to us last year from the Health and Human Services group. They didn't send us the language that transferred the money for this credit from the Health Care Access Fund to the general fund. That transfer was made in the consolidated fund balance statement, and they asked that we just have language that put that transfer into the statute as well. So that's what the new subdivision 5 in this language does.
Representative Seifert moves the ANM health credit amendment. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Contrary, no. The motion prevails. Madam Chair and Representative Loeffler, we heard pretty loud and clear from Senator Berglund about the two-year moratorium that we put on new maintenance of efforts. And she asked us if we would consider going to 18 months there, that she'd be much more comfortable with it. That seemed reasonable to me. That would include both of the next two legislative sessions for us to work on this issue before that provision went into law. She seemed kind of certain that she needed 18 months rather than two full years. Did we get you to rethink that? Rather than have her come down here and testify on it? And
Mr. Chair.
Representative Chesky.
Is she in that big of a hurry to raise property taxes, or what's the concern there? That's all it does. Just raises everybody's property taxes. Man, why would we want to accommodate that? I think it's going to be really rough going forward here with what's going to happen with LGA and county aid.
Well, Madam,
hard enough on those guys?
I'm sure we're going to have two more sessions before the 18 months would even kick in. So I think it's not as though there wouldn't be adequate time to work on this issue. Representative Loeffler?
Madam Chair, or Mr. Chair and members, I think it's important to realize this came out of the work group that Representative Lanning was in charge of, and it applies beyond Health and Human Services to all potential match or maintenance of effort requirements on township, cities, and counties. And so it's broader. Our staff actually polled all the other fiscal staff, and I'm told that they were told that there isn't any proposals in any of the relevant finance committees dealing with this. So that helps you put into better context, because it was really came out of the Maury Lanning work group on mandate reform as broader than just Health and Human Services.
I'm sure it would help me on the floor, I think, with Senator Berglund. I'd like to pick my fights, and this seems like one you have adequate time to revisit next year at 18 months. Representative Seifert?
I thought the original proposal back in the Lanning group was that it'd be forever. And then we moved it to 2 years. I mean, think about compromise. It went from forever to 2 years. It's like, that's a major gift to start with.
He's ours. You're jealous.
You could move it, and you could blame us for not adopting it.
Well, I think it would help on the floor. So, Senator Skoy, talk to Senator Berglund about this.
You lose one vote. Yeah.
I lost two here tonight. Two additional ones. I'm starting to count.
Mr. Chair, on that, we might need to reconsider the bus bonds and a number of other provisions that if folks don't like what's in this bill, it's a lot more we could take out. I'm okay with that. $30 million.
So, Loeffler, you could help me with Senator Berglund here, and I don't think it would change anything.
Well, Mr. Chair, and not being able to speak for all the work for group members there, but I think, maybe we could look at it in human services, but that it's got to be tied to the work report that we've got coming back next year, which is going to look at a whole new way of dealing with this in human services. And I don't know if Senator Berglund's thought through that as much in terms of how these things all dovetail. Well,
3 minutes.
I'd be willing to move the 18 months, Mr. Chair.
Madam Chair, it would make my life easier on the floor. This is heavy lifting on the floor. I'm sure this is going to be a 200-page amendment. It's going to be a 200-page amendment.
Mr. Chair, Representative Seifert, you know what? There's no heavy lifting on the Senate floor. The minority there is asleep.
I'm sorry. except for Senator Johnson, who's made sure to get her provisions.
Take exception
Representative
to that.
Seifert, on the other hand, puts us through the paces like you cannot believe. You know, you guys do a bill in 20 minutes. We do it in 20 hours. You have no problems on the floor with anything. Representative Seifert makes sure that every page. But Senator Johnson, she's done her due diligence. She's got her provision in here.
And she's
ready to go.
She has been here front and center.
Yes, she has. Isn't it nice to have Republicans on the Tax Conference Committee? You should remember that. It's nice.
The Senate has, Senator Blanger served on this committee for a long, long time, as you're well aware, Madam Chair. On the Loeffler motion on the 2-year moratorium on new maintenance of efforts, that we amend that to 18 months. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no?
No.
The motion prevails. Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Loeffler, that will make my life a little easier on the floor with my little 200-page amendment tomorrow.
Is that everything or just HHS?
I think it's
everything.
It's whatever we had in the bill.
Everything.
Anything else?
Does anybody have anything else? So the intent, members, would be to take all of these incorporated provisions, have them drafted into an amendment to the public finance bill tomorrow on the Senate floor, send them over to the House, and except for we have the one open issue of the seabed language that the commissioner is going to talk with me in the morning about, and then I will talk with you, Madam Chair, about. And then we would send them over to you and see how your body feels about them.
Madam Chair, is Commissioner Ines and the Governor talk about that when I wasn't here for the one meeting about taxing people who own property and leave the state and so forth? Was that okay with
that? We didn't add that one.
Did that never go in?
Hmm. Oh, that was the LLC issue?
Okay,
and we decided to take that out, right?
You took it out.
We'd
like to do it later. Do you want to add it?
It's
money again.
Just to be sure, Madam Chair, that we took it out.
Properties LLC. I'm not interested in.
Madam Chair, I'm not sure. I'm glad Representative Seifert brought that up. Maybe we should actually make a formal motion to delete the previously adopted LLC language related to cabins. I believe is the subject area, or that's how it's being currently used.
So just cabins only, Madam Chair.
No, it's more
second
than that, but it's principally being used as cabins. But the previously incorporated language.
Well, you don't have to. You have it still adopted in 2323.
Oh, yeah.
It just sits here adopted.
It doesn't affect very many people, Madam Chair, but I thought it might cause some trouble.
Well, I think the intent is that it wouldn't be in the amendment tomorrow.
Okay.
And because I believe we've already taken it off of the spreadsheet. So.
I asked him. He said it's yearly.
Anything else?
Vote for this bill. Why wouldn't I vote for this?
Right. Well, it's member stuff, yeah. I mean, this is a good piece, and it's good for the staff, too, to be able to get rid of all this. It'll make the conclusion of the session much easier. So appreciate, Commissioner, we appreciate your willingness to do that. It sure makes it easier for all of the staff of the House and the Senate over the next week. So. Anything else, members? You have the gavel tomorrow.
Yeah, after session. Let's meet after session. We're in at 9 or 9:30, so we don't want to meet before.
Committee adjourned.
Thank you.